Welcome to season 5 of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Mindfulness Pilates teacher of over 25 years and author. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain to feel good, as well as working through stress to calm, with relaxation, positive affirmations and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind. Feel stronger, happy and calm. So big welcome to today's podcast. Today's podcast, we're going to be talking about 15 tips to help you reduce back pain to feel good. So let's get going. some of my current clients have found this really, really useful. And one lady who's a client, she'd gone and strained her back and she was in a lot of pain actually. And she went back to basics and she used one of the tips in today's podcast, and she used another one of the tips and another one of the tips and another one of the tips. And I'm really going to have to get going with the tips to show you what these particular tips that she used were. Actually, she used several of them. And that got her back into the injury-free zone, feeling good and okay for work and life again. So I think what we'll do is we'll just get going. We'll just get going with all the tips. Any news for you? Any news? Well, it was just an amazing bank holiday weekend and absolutely loved that. Went to the Wim Hof plunge in the sea and walk on the beach with friends. It was really lovely. Went on this big hike, actually, with Anna Marsh. The reason I'm telling you her whole name is because she has a wonderful podcast called the Chronic Fatigue Recovery Podcast, which I might have mentioned to you in the past. And she's got a wonderful Chronic Fatigue Recovery Instagram account in case you'd like to follow her there. But you can actually go and check out on Anna or my social media the video of our hike. It was very meaningful, actually, because I have been on quite a long chronic fatigue recovery journey. And I feel like I'm at the end of it now. And life is good. Feeling very grateful and blessed that I could do such a big hike for me anyway, in my terms of big hike with my friends. It was absolutely beautiful. It was fun, friendship, went in the sea, lots of obviously hiking rather than just going for a walk. A walk to me is not so far, but obviously hiking is just walking. But you know, I used to do that in my traveling around the world days. So, and even as a girl guide. So in Switzerland, it was wonderful. It was really wonderful. So, and what else to share with you? Yeah, I had a wonderful sort of personal and work update. I had a lovely time with my mum as usual. We always catch up at the weekend and have a special date to beautiful gardens and wonderful time at the beach with my son, just listening to music and having picnics and going in the sea and reading books. It was just absolutely wonderful. So that to me is a dream lifestyle. And then work has been fantastic this week. It's been over the last couple of weeks, it's been a real mixture of both the Mindfulness Pilates classes on Zoom. I will just reiterate that they are properly taught, maximum 10 in a class, tailored to you, starting right at the beginning with beginners and the taster class. And then we also have, of course, the one-to-one transformational programs. I have found a gorgeous new studio in Dorset that I'm also teaching at in person called The Healing Haven. And I'll give a shout out to Lily. She's doing a lovely job there, really created a beautiful space. So you can see me in Dorset as well for both retreats, VIP days, but also, of course, on Zoom. Zoom is just as effective, interestingly. And I can correct everyone's alignment and position very well, and especially check that the back is lovely and straight in its correct position for the exercise and movement and everything. So that's been really good. It's been great business networking. I've welcomed in some new clients. I've got another new one-to-one transformational program client starting this week, which is better if you've got more going on, you've seen the doctor, you've seen the practitioner, you might have had an MRI scan or seen a consultant, that can be the time that it's better to do work more intensively one-to-one. But anyway, so I'm really looking forward to welcoming a new lady. She's been getting sciatica and back pain on and off. It's a bit sporadic on and off. So I think there's quite a lot of work to do. So I'm looking forward to starting together with that. And then also taught an accountancy software company, and I think I might have mentioned it in the last podcast. That was really, really great. Went very, very well. Stress reduced. So I have got the corporate well-being side of things that I'm teaching at the desk on Zoom, but sometimes in person as well. So I am teaching a school in another school in Dorset for their whole school. All the teachers and support staff are invited. I'm teaching them next month. So that will be, and that's actually an in-person workshop, stress management, well-being for better mental health, learning the stress to calm tools with the book, which is very exciting. Right, let's get on to the tips. Are you ready? Okay, tip one is, and the reduced back pain to feel good is, it's pretty obvious actually. I'm sure you will have thought of this, but do consult your doctor or relevant medical professional. That might be physio, osteopath, chiropractor, etc. So that's always a good starting point because it gives you some reassurance, and it's always good to have a diagnosis and know what's going on. That then helps me gauge exactly what to do with you as well. So that's tip one today. Here we go. I've got the Tibetan bells going on today. Take a breath in, take a breath out. And I will, of course, share in today's podcast a meditation breathing for you, as well as also we will do an affirmation of the week, of course, as well. I did actually teach a stress to calm workshop yesterday as well, which was wonderful. So let's head over to tip two now. So heading over to tip two now. So let's see what we have for you. So tip two is to move regularly. In the olden days, I think they sent people to bed and things like that. They don't recommend that anymore. So move regularly, and my tip is to aim for at least a couple of walks a day. And also, if you are do have a desk-bound job, that may be detrimental to you with all that sitting, but at least move more regularly, take really regular breaks. And if you're somebody that gets so, obviously, if you're in the middle of teaching or meetings, obviously you'll be present in that. But whenever you can, walk regularly. So set an alarm as well, is very good to remind you to get up and move around. This could be every half an hour. It might even be as often as 15 minutes to start with, but minimum 45 minutes. Most physios, osteopaths, chiropractors recommend that at the worst an hour. If you start sitting there for hours at a time, you're probably not going to the bathroom enough. You're probably not drinking enough water. And your muscles, as well as your spine, your discs will not appreciate you just being sat there all the time. I do also find I wasn't particularly on my 15 tips today, but a lot of people find from a driving perspective that an automatic car is more comfortable than a manual car. The extension of the leg, especially on a side that you're getting sciatic type symptoms on, can be exacerbate symptoms, or traveling for too long and things like that. So you might want to just reduce, if possible, reduce your travel time down. And your activity and movement up. It's actually Mental Health Awareness Week this week, and it's all about movement. So let's all move more, because it also does really massively affect mental health in a very positive way as well, which I find massively with the Stress to Calm teaching that I do, and the books we've written, Stress to Calm series of books, which we've written for lawyers, teachers, and nurses. So move. How much walking are you doing? It's not necessarily about the length of the walk. It's not going on a great long walk. It's about the regularity. Little and often is better than one long walk. But yeah, and also listen to your body. Do what's comfortable, of course. Tip three. Here we go. Take a breath in, take a breath out, in through the nose, out through the mouth. Let your breathing slow down. Okay, keep your back straight. And that means in its natural curve. Don't sit or stand like a banana. Now, I know I've mentioned this before, but that compresses the discs in the spine. It makes the whole alignment from a structural point of view, as well as a muscular point of view. Puts it all out of kilter, all out of kilter. If you haven't listened to the Ed podcast yet, with chiropractor Rob Spratley helping you with headaches, that also is highly motivational on why it's detrimental sitting and standing like a banana. It's pretty awful. It even affects our longevity. Can you believe it? And it also affects our mental health because but having good posture makes you feel happier. There's a book by Dr. David Hamilton, who's one of my favorite scientists. He's a Hay House author. Originally, he was in pharmaceuticals, but then he's written so many books now on kindness and all sorts. One of the books is I Heart Me. It's on my shelf just there. I Heart Me, but it's got a lot of research based, and it's got those benefits of how it boosts your self-esteem, how it boosts your confidence, your happiness by having good posture. So that also helps your discs feel happier. And if you squash your body, you feel squashed. And if you lengthen up, like you've got helium balloons through the top of your head, that makes you feel better. So that's your tip three today. Okay, here we go. Breathe in, breathe out. Tip four, avoid lifting. Okay, some of you will have to lift in daily life, but as much as you can, avoid lifting. When you do lift, obviously bend your knees, keep your back straight, tummy in. So you're doing a squat with a straight back. You do not do squats with a banana posture. That is just awful. So not good for us. You want your deep abdominal muscles to be scooped in, and also for a bit of extra support, lift your pelvic floor muscles as well. They're the muscles that support you like a hammock. It's a feeling of stopping a wee in mid-flow. And then lift on the out breath. Before you lift as well, you want the object to be close into your body. Definitely do not do awkward lifting when you're going through a period of discomfort or pain. Avoid that at all costs. My son just had a piano delivered, a new piano delivered, and we did not lift that piano up those stairs. We did hire, and they had three people lifting that piano. That was a tough lift, actually, very tough, absolutely. One of my clients recently said in relation to gardening, they were doing stuff in the gardening and digging, and nobody's come in with any gardening injuries this year because they're working with me, so that's good. They're keeping injury free, but some of them are needing Pilates breathing, lying down, stretches to recover from the gardening and knowing which ones to do. But the reason I'm talking about gardening is one of my clients was doing all this digging and then their wheelbarrow stuff, and then they were wheelbarrowing the stuff, and then it was kind of like they'd be bending and twisting, but she stopped at the bending and twisting point and delegated. So don't hesitate to delegate with lifting if that's not right for you, the amount, the weight that needs to be lifted. I know what my maximum weight is that I lift, and I will only lift something if I'm going from A to B in a straight line, not awkwardly upstairs or anything like that. My maximum weight I tend to lift is something like a stand-up paddle board is my maximum weight. So think about what that is for you. So yeah, do not bend and twist. Do not do that. I had somebody, a client strained their back by kind of doing things like hoovering and lifting up animal dog beds and things like bending, twisting, and they weren't thinking what they're doing. They weren't doing it properly. It did all settle down with a lot of these sensible tips afterwards. And they kind of learned their lesson on that one, unfortunately. So think about how you're doing things, and think about what being mindful of what you're actually doing with your body. So that's the lifting one. Number five, here we go. Ding. Breathe in, breathe out. Now, this sounds a bit extreme, but move like a robot. So you know, like a robot, you think of them like moving in a very sort of robotic way, basically. And you want to keep your back straight, and you want to think about how you sit, how you stand, how you walk, how you move, how you get out of bed in the morning. Obviously, it's a choice how we do all these things. But for example, if you're talking to somebody, have them in front of you, or if you're sitting, because sometimes you might be in a situation, I might even be a doctor's waiting room, but the chair isn't placed where you're facing exactly to that person. So it's better if you're facing the person than you're twisting to talk to them. So be mindful of how you're sitting and standing in relation to conversations with other people as well. And during that phase of things being a bit more uncomfortable, then it can be good to be more conscious of keeping your back straight and being more careful. Okay, let's head into number six. Going to make it a much quicker podcast than last time. Number six. I hope you find some of these useful though. If you'd like me to send you the PDF version, which you could print out or stick up or whatever, just email me from the show notes. So, okay, number six. At night time, keep your knees bent if you're lying on your back or several pillows underneath your knees. Even better, when you're lying on your side, have your knees bent, have the correct height cushion underneath your head on your side, and then put a pillow between your knees or a bed pillow between your knees and your feet. This gives your back a really lovely support at night time. And this is one of the tips that really helped my client who had strained her back, and she found it so much more comfortable at night time. Personally, I don't have any problem at night time with my back. However, I find it very comfortable having that pillow between my knees and feet or between my knees. So that is definitely a top tip. If you do one thing from this list, try that out. And obviously tip one, see your doctor and practitioner. So heading over to number seven. So this is about doing some mindfulness Pilates. Now, when you are going through aches and pains, to be quite frank, I don't recommend you do anything copy me. Don't start copying any of my stuff on YouTube, although I do keep it quite basic. Don't copy anything, make it up, Google something or anything like that. It's not a very good idea. Lots of Pilates is very good. There's a kind of a safety range that I teach. And in my, you know, reduce back pain to feel good, transformational one-to-one programs, it's a very safe movement program. And then there's a range within that of where somebody is. I always start right at the beginning. So one thing that you can do safely is have a lie down with your knees bent. Now, you can either do this lying on your back and take 5 to 10 breaths in and out into your nose, out through your mouth, relax. Some people prefer initially lying on their side with the knees bent in front of them, big cushion under the head with the bed pillow between the knees and feet. So if you prefer, so I have quite a few clients, maybe about 10% of my clients prefer to do the 5 minute relaxation at the end of class, depending on the length of the classes that, or one-to-one programs and things that they come to, depends on the length of meditation. Some of them are 1 minute, some are 5 minute relaxation meditations, and some prefer to lie on their side in that. You want to make sure you're comfortable. So that's that. If you're just getting a few little aches and, you know, stiff muscles, I don't class in the pain, that it's actual, you know, pain. I'd say that's sort of more muscular. So you could do my free reduce back pain to feel good little video on my website. That's, I think, about 3 minutes long. That's very basic and gentle. However, if you have got any symptoms going on, it's best to book in properly with me so you're properly taught with it all. For my clients, I have specific things I give them, but I don't want to give you anything specific because we want to keep this safe. So, oh gosh. Okay, number eight. Breathe in, breathe out. Is listen to your body. So that is it, really. Listen to your body. You know, what does your back need? What do you need? You know, even what does your mental health need? So really listen to your body. Do what's comfortable. Don't just do something, even from a back strengthening perspective or a core stability strengthening perspective, just because you've heard or seen it's good or worked for someone else. It has to be right for you. I had someone coming along once to a free taster session. I don't do this anymore, actually. You can do a paid taster session with me. And she was showing me all these things she thought were going to be good for her back and her core. And they were really awful. I have no idea where she got them from. but she could have been hurting and damaging herself quite honestly. So listen to your body, and do what's comfortable for you. It's not about doing the same as everyone else. So typically in my one-to-one programs and classes, you can have, there could be up to four different variations going on, or levels or types of the stretch or strengthener going on. So heading into number eight, oh no, I'm really, my numbers have got messed up here. So ooh, I think we're heading into number nine. Let's hope this is right. Oh, never mind. It's not the end of the world, is it? Okay, pick a positive affirmation card every day. So you can use happy kids cards with your children, and one for you for the primary school children, or you can pick one of the ones for teenagers and adults, which are the happy and calm cards. So let's just go for one now. So this will be really interesting. Will we pick the card about the back and core stability, or will we pick something completely different? This will be interesting. I have not planned this. So there's 52 different ones. Best card for the podcast today, please. Patience. Oh, how interesting. So, what does that mean to you today in relation to your body, your mind, your soul? I am patient. I easily wait my turn. So, I've been working with somebody lately, and they're a little bit frustrated at the speed of their sort of after. I don't know how to describe this, but they have been feeling impatient. So I am have been trying to encourage patience that they are improving, and which is really, really positive, and they are able to do things with good technique. But they're having to take it, slower than they would like to. So sometimes slower progress gives you better results, though. And then obviously you have to listen to your body in lots of ways with that. So I am patient. So that is that one. Okay, heading into number 10, hopefully. Breathe in, breathe out. Do 1 minute journaling with an affirmation card. So you could go for the patient one, or let's pick another one. Oh, this would be interesting. Let's see what we get next. You can think about what it means. You can talk with someone else about that affirmation, patience. But we're going to pick another one now for number 10. Best message for this one. Breathe in, breathe out. Drop your shoulders, happy shoulders. Goal setting. Interesting. Now, this is actually one of the tips, but I'll delve in that to that a little bit more later. I love setting goals. I love to think, write, or draw my goals. What does that mean to you today? So what you do is you write it down, and then you set an alarm for 1 minute and write down what that means to you today in relation to that affirmation. And what I want you to also ask yourself, or you could ask yourself this question and write this down. This is quite poignant and maybe new to you. What does my back and knee need right now? Write that down. What does my back and knee need right now? And then set an alarm for 1 minute, or just simply sit and be with a nice cup of tea, good posture. Or you can be lying down, propped up in bed with the knees bent. That's more comfy. That's a position I like, with a pillow on your tummy and then your notepad on top of your pillow with your knees bent and then propped up with pillows. And that can be quite comfortable on the back as well for some people. So, and see what your own inner wisdom, your own you, yourself, what advice would you give yourself about this? But it might not be what you think. It might be deeper and give you more insight to what you need. It might be you're working way too long hours, you're traveling too much, you're not moving enough. It might be you're being a workaholic. It might be there's just no self-care for your body. It's like deteriorating, and it's feeling it. Because I have to say, every person I work with who comes along with sciatica, low back pain, all these different things, they might think sometimes that they're doing enough exercise, like going running into the gym, but there's nothing to support it. And mindfulness Pilates support gives that deep support for the body. I generally find there's quite a big back weakness or core stability weakness going on. I often find there's muscle imbalances. In flexibility imbalances of one side, one bit of the body being more flexible, I often find, especially when there's nerve symptoms having gone on, like sciatica and prolapsed discs. There can be strength imbalances, often comes hand in hand with that. I'm about to work with somebody who's got a lot of had on and off low back pain, sciatica, balance issues. And what happens if we don't do anything with our body? Things get weak. And especially as you go from month to year to decade, it becomes even more important to exercise. It's a choice, though. We don't have to. We can just become more and more sedentary and weaker and weaker and less quality of life. Or we can choose to feel younger and have much better quality of life by moving our body and adding in mindfulness Pilates. So I'd love to know. I'd really, really appreciate you writing back whether you did this number 10 of the journaling with the affirmation, or what does your back and you need right now, and whether you actually sat down with your pen and paper and wrote that down. So report back. Okay, and to number 11. Take a breath in, take a breath out. Okay, so stress can come into the body, and it can come into the mind, and it can come into our soul as well. I did do a podcast episode on, is there a link between sort of emotional things and physical things, and then tying up? Yes, there definitely is. This particular tip is breathe. Breathe to de-stress. It's amazing. There's research and science on breathing now, and NHS here in the UK are recommending it for better mental health and physical health, because sometimes things like headaches can be, can be stress related. But please listen to that other episode, because sometimes if they're red flag warning signs for something much more serious. So don't just ignore a headache. Always get those checked out if you're not sure what's causing it, because you always want to rule anything out on that side of things. But breathing is amazing. Now, when I taught the Stress to Calm workshop this week for a corporate client, they had done box breathing before, which is typically taught by therapists, psychologists, NHS, etc. But a lot of people I've noticed find it too hard, and then they just give up on it. And so I now call a version of this triangle breathing, where you breathe in for four, hold your breath for four, and then exhale for a count of four. So yeah, we're going to do that in today's meditation for you, the triangle breathing. And the box breathing is used by firefighters in America, for example. They use it on their when they're in a fire to help the body physiologically, but also to help them mentally, also to conserve oxygen levels, to keep their nervous system calmer, to keep them more focused and concentrated. And of course, we can use that in our own work environments as well, or in a stressful situation. It does not have to be yogi style. Nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't have to be, it can be at the desk. It can be sitting, it can be standing, it can be lying down, it can be on the move, it can be on a walk, it can be with whilst you're in that situation, you can do this breathing. Equally, you can go to the bathroom, shut the door, lock the door, and do some breathing there for a minute just to completely, calm down. So that's number 11. Last few. Here we go. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, do some regular desk stretches, neck and shoulder stretches. So perhaps just do a few little shoulder circles now. Just circle the shoulders a few times one way, sitting or standing, and a few times the other way. And then tilt your head side to side, ear towards shoulder, but sit tall, head up and back, relax the head and neck. Don't sit like a banana, smile, and then just tilt up to five times side to side, but only go as far as it's comfortable. Quite a few people have said to me over the last 26 years, quite a lot, it's so grindy and crunchy, and I just say, well, just keep moving. Unless it's uncomfortable or painful, then it's really good to do these daily or regularly or many times a day. That's a really good one. So I hope you find those useful. If you want to learn them properly with me, though, book in for either you can either do it on the one-to-one transformational basis with the in-depth back work, back program, Or you can go for one of the paid taster sessions, and I'll teach you how to do that and the journaling and all these other things there properly. Make sure your alignment's right and things like that. So let's head over to number 13. Okay, so this one, very optional. Obviously, we all take a bath or a shower. I think a lot of people find heat really useful. If you have a hot shower, something that quite a few practitioners I know over the years have recommended also having a cold shower. However, consult your doctor before doing this in case there's any contraindications in relation to this. So don't just do it from the podcast. Obviously, check before doing such a thing. But if you're in extremely good health, you can go from your lovely hot shower and then you can go for 30 seconds cold shower. My personal tip on this is to do another 30 seconds on maybe the low back or an area you have some aches and pains in. And then afterwards, just make sure you get dry and warm and dress nice and quickly afterwards. If you want to know more about the benefits of cold water exposure, listen to the podcast episode with Heather Ashley, who's a Wim Hof teacher as well. But for other people, they find hot packs and hot water bottles can be really nice as well. So hot packs you put in the microwave or hot water bottles, so obviously with the hot water. But sometimes there's inflammation, and the cold can help reduce the inflammation and pain levels. So it's something you may want to consider. Personally find it helpful. So that's number 13. Okay, number 14. Okay, so this one I'd like you to get a pen and paper in a moment, but before you do, you want to close your eyes and imagine and visualize and see, hear, feel, and know about a goal. So I'd like you to set a goal. So something that you would like to do, small or big goal, personal, just for you, nothing to do with work or any volunteer work. And whether that might be running, going to the gym, weight training, going for a favorite walk, family outing, and feeling on top of the world. So maybe it's something you can't do at the moment, but you want to be able to do again. So yeah, I'm just wondering, it would be, so I'd like you to just do that and just give yourself a few moments to enjoy that, really. It's a really powerful thing. In our book, in our books, the Stress to Calm series, and I learned it in my sports science degree originally, all those years ago, about the power of visualization. It's used by athletes. In our Stress to Calm series of books, we talk about more about visualization and the benefits behind that. And there's a really interesting study quoted by Dr. David Hamilton. It's called the Piano Study. And what happens is, oh, there's so many angles to this. It's also used in rehabilitation. So I use this with clients as well, but sometimes in rehabilitation, always in the transformational programs because, okay, let's talk about the piano study. My mind's wandering off into a few areas. Let's talk about the piano study. So in the piano study, half of the participants had to play the piano for 2 hours. They played the same notes physically. The other half of the participants had to close their eyes and imagine playing exactly the same notes in their mind, mentally rehearsing and visualizing it in their mind in the visualization. What happened was afterwards, in the brain scans they did afterwards, they could not tell who. In the results of both sets of participants, they could not tell who had physically practiced the piano and who had mentally rehearsed it in their mind. So the best possible thing to do is to physically practice something as well as mentally rehearse it. Now, if you're rehabilitating from injury, this is not possible usually to just go and do the thing you want to do. So I've worked with many clients in the one-to-one transformational programs, and there's no way in a million years Mike, who I work with intensively one-to-one, who is booked in for a back operation and came to see me as a last-ditch resort before going under the knife because he was actually booked in for the operation. There's no way he could just go and practice his golf. So that is out at, you know, that's what he wanted to be able to do again, golf and football. But we worked intensively. We, right from the beginning, But it worked so well, actually, that that back operation was cancelled and he was able to play golf again, which is amazing. And yeah, no operation, played golf again, and he had to maintain the Pilates to support him. And then he managed to play the football as well. And so, but what you can do is what I do now in the one-to-one transformational programs is get you imagining and visualizing the thing you want to do, because the body does actually fire up in the same way. So sometimes you've got to do the mental bit with the physical bit that you're able to do, such as Pilates, to build up right from the beginning safely, because it is safe to move when you've got stuff going on, such as prolapsed discs, but it's within a very careful position in the back and range of movement and a particular repertoire that seems to work very well, which is the program I teach. So, you've got Mike playing golf, you've got Sarah, competitive sailing now, but she was at the other end of the scale. Emma's been kayaking and David's playing golf, and you can see these on my website. But it's exciting. It's exciting. So I'd love it to for you to give yourself permission. It might be just cozy in bed at night and imagine the thing you want to do. What I will just say, for some of us, certain things, sometimes we have to change our hobbies. A lot of clients have got them back to really what they wanted to do. For someone like myself, who's had multiple accidents and prolapse discs in the past and ongoing spinal stenosis, for some, I've chosen to change what I do. So I don't play squash now, but I still like to jog on the beach. I like to walk. I like to cycle. I like to hike. I can do stand-up paddleboarding if I want to. And I'm hugely grateful. But do I play heavy squash now? No. Do I go for golf lessons now, which I quite enjoyed? No. It doesn't suit me. So some of us can have huge quality of life, strong back, strong core, but our body has found a preference for new hobbies. Or for me, plunging in the sea is wonderful. Going for ice baths, Wim Hof workshops and stuff. So we're all different. We all like different things, but it's about finding either a new quality life, a new quality of life that's active and well, or and healthy, good for our well-being. Or it could be exactly what you wanted to get back to. Athlete, good enough for athlete, good enough for you and me. And finally, 15. I'm hoping this is number 15, and my numbers might have gone up a bit up the creek here. Smile and laugh more. And you can do calm to happy in 1 minute. You can either learn that from our books, the Stress to Calm series. We've got the one for lawyers, Stress to Calm in 7 minutes for lawyers. But even if you're not a lawyer, a nurse, or a teacher, you could still get one of our books and you can use all the tools and learn about all the research behind them. And you can just use it for yourself. So I suppose I'm not a school teacher, but I use the, personally for me, I use the teacher's one. I suppose I'm a teacher of some sort as a mindfulness Pilates teacher and teaching the corporate stress management and everything. So I like using that copy for myself. And then, of course, yeah, nurses and teachers one. So you can use it like that, or you can come and learn it with me at one of the taster classes. I'll teach you properly how to do that. So that is the 15 tips. So please report back if you find any of them helpful. Please forward on as a gift the podcast, maybe to a friend you think it could help. If you do want a copy, like a PDF copy of the tips, please feel free to email me and I'll get that emailed over to you as well. So let's go into today's meditation now. So this is going to be the triangle breathing relaxation meditation, and you can do this sitting, standing, lying down, or on a walk. So big welcome to the triangle breathing relaxation meditation. Sitting, standing, or lying down, close your eyes. Or on a walk if you like. But if you are sitting or standing or lying down, get comfortable and close your eyes. And you're going to breathe in for a count of four and out for a count of four. Relax, breathe, relax, and concentrate. In through your nose, out through your mouth, relax. Well done. And again, in for four, out for four, relax. Relaxing on the out breath, breathe into your tummy. Let your breathing slow down. A couple more like this to warm up the triangle breathing. In for four, out for four, relax. One more. In through the nose for four, out through the mouth for four. And then you're going to keep the breathing going, but this time if you'd like to do the triangle breathing, it's in for four, hold your breath for up to four, and out for four, relax. Good posture, relaxing your head, neck and shoulders, well done. In for four at your own pace, hold the breath for up to four, out for four, relax. Well done. And again, in for four, hold for up to four, out for four, relax. Relax your tummy. Well done. Let your breathing slow down. In for four, hold for up to four, out for four, relax. One more. In for four, hold for four, out for four, relax. One for luck, or you can keep going for as long as you like. Practice this breathing anytime you like. And say well done to yourself. And give yourself a big, big smile, because that will make you feel happier. If you want to give yourself a laugh as well, you can. But at least a big smile if you want to, because we can choose happiness or we can choose a straight face. So maybe go for the smile. Well done. So welcome back. How do you feel after the triangle breathing? And if you know someone who's really stressed or struggling with their mental health at the moment, obviously, of course, go for the doctor's route and get the relevant mental health support. However, breathing is really helpful and supportive for better mental health, but also for our body as well, because when we get stressed about our back or whatever it might be, that can also affect us in the mind. And also, even things like financial stress can also go into the back as well, especially the low back, apparently, according to the late Louise Hay, who's an amazing author of many books. So thank you, Louise, for bringing that up today. I just felt like mentioning that as well. So it's also good to get to the root of problems and stresses that are going on in our life. I don't know if you can relate to this, listening to this, but I remember so vividly all those years ago that I ended up in hospital having spinal injections. And afterwards, I was lying there and I was like, oh, it feels really good, but it was only so temporary, because basically you have these, you go numb. Anyway, I won't go into full details of it, but it didn't last very long and it actually didn't work for me. And I realized in hindsight that medical intervention perhaps wasn't right for me at the time, but the symptoms were flaring up at a kind of very, very high stress time of divorce and court hearings and things. So sometimes you might notice, some people think they've got weak areas in their body, and sometimes it's just the stress is going to those areas, like, and I think the stress was going to my back, where I have had structural damage. Yes, true. But does that stop me now? No, it doesn't. And obviously, extremely regular Pilates practice keeps everything supported. And, you know, in your mind as well, it's so important in your mind that you know you're doing something to keep your back strong and to keep your core strong, and the right stretches, that you're not scared of traveling or you know, and that you know how to recover from that travel or whatever it might be. So it's a pretty amazing form of exercise. I dread to think, I think if I didn't have it in my life, and I'm so grateful to teach, if I didn't have it in my life, I'm pretty sure I'd put a bet on. I don't place bets generally, no, I don't, but I'm pretty sure I'd have had a back operation by now. Have had other operations after road traffic accident and stuff, so I do understand that deep rehabilitation, unfortunately, but it is useful from a understanding you and my client's point of view, and I understand the rehabilitation process from that point of view. But I'm hugely grateful to Pilates. So thank you, Joseph Pilates. Let me know if you found this useful today. Please leave it a review because it would be nice to get a few more. And if there's anything, any questions you have for me and the podcast, write in with them and we'll see if we can cover some of those on the podcast as well for you. But yeah, thanks so much for tuning in today and see you next time. Lots of love. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access the free healing meditation and Pilates to ease back pain in 3 minutes morning routine on my website. And you can also book your free Pilates taster class at the Zoom studio, one-to-one Pilates program, and mindfulness Pilates classes and more at www.mindfulnesspilates.com.